In the book of Ezekiel, the first judgment is toward God's house, toward those in God's house. Peter says, the time has come for a judgment to what? To begin the house of God. So, judgment is necessary. We don't like to talk about judgment. Nobody likes to talk about judgment. But we all believe that God is a very righteous God, but we don't like to talk about judgment. So judgment is part of the church life. I cannot imagine the church life without judgment. If there's no judgment in the church life, that means we are all perfect. Right? If you're perfect, you don't need judgment. So, there is judgment. And judgment is necessary. It is necessary. Discipline is part of the life. Whether you like it or not, it's part of our life. Otherwise, you will not live peacefully. Because there's judgment in this country, it's a lawful country, so we can live peacefully. Suppose this is a lawless country, like Mexico or somewhere. Every day you see people dead on the street. That's not very good. So judgment is necessary as long as we are on this earth today. We need judgment. Don't be afraid of judgment. If we are wrong, then we are wrong. We need to confess our sins to the Lord. Remember what John said. If you say that you have no sin, you lie. And the truth is not in you. No one can say that I have no sin. But if we confess our sin to the Lord, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. And to cleanse us.
Yes.
But judgment is necessary. It's healthy. For us today, judgment is our salvation. Right. To discipline us, to save us. If there is no judgment, I'm afraid that you defer that judgment to later time. It's just a deferment. You're going to be judged sooner or later. But if you judge, if you are judged today by the Lord, it is for your salvation.
Amen.
So that you can receive the crown of life. But if you defer the judgment and you judge before the judgment seat of Christ when He comes, it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So actually today's judgment is salvation. What can I say? It's just like When the parents gave the children ampahin, spanking here, and they cry out so loud, actually that doesn't even hurt. You know, it doesn't even hurt, but it's good for you. Because if you refuse to take that kind of a little spanking, one day when you grow up and you become a bastard, you'll be ended up in prison. That is really bad for you. That's really bad. There'll be gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth.
That's right.
So judgment is necessary. I really pray that all of us will look at a judgment as a kind of salvation for us. Yes. Amen. Really?
Yes.
Really? Because God loves us. Hebrews 12 has always been a very helpful chapter to me.
That's right. Mm.
That because He loves us, He disciplines us. He chastises us. So, in order that we might become partakers of His holiness, and the result is the fruit of righteousness, peaceable fruit of righteousness. So, don't look at judgment today in the scriptures as something totally negative. No, for us today, it is necessary. It really is necessary. It's part of our spiritual life.
Amen.
And our spiritual growth. So, we saw in the first part of Ezekiel the judgment on the house of God. Well, they really needed that judgment. But the result is always that the Lord saves a remnant. But since we are in 2 Peter chapter 2, we might as well continue a little bit.
2 Timothy.
We are in 2 Timothy, right? You start with 2 Timothy. Paul is really trying to perfect Timothy. He says, you therefore. Well, firstly, okay, let us just start there. In verse 3, you therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. To endure hardship. Some translations said you must have a part, you must share the hardship. Do not think that serving the Lord is easy. Definitely it's not easy. If you cannot endure hardship, you are not willing to share the hardship. You know, when the Lord was on this earth, accomplishing God's purpose, it was really hard work. It was hardship. A lot of hardship. Don't expect to have an easy life. You therefore must endure or must share. You must share. Willing to partake. You know, Paul's attitude is that I will be like him. I will know him. And to have the fellowship of what?
Suffering.
Of his suffering. Oh, that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Without suffering, it is impossible to mature in life. Is it easy to go through college?
No.
You must have gone through some hardship.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It really is not easy. We always like to take the easy way. But to be perfected spiritually is not to learn doctrine. It is to go through trials. Yeah. Problems are not bad for us. No. Not bad for us. We always like to complain when we have troubles or anything, when things are not going smoothly. You know, it's a good thing. You should be thankful that things didn't go smoothly. Why? Because hardship perfects you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So endure hardship. Have your share. Have your share. as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's very good to see that we are soldiers. Well, you're afraid to die? If you're a soldier, you're giving your life. Soldiers is not just there to have a good time. No. The life of a soldier is you give your life. Amen. You prepare to give your life, to lay down your life. So, a good soldier, that is a good one. Of course, there are many bad ones, but a good soldier, you must be prepared to lay down your life. A soldier of Jesus Christ, engaging in the spiritual warfare. I just cannot tell you to share, to describe this, because to serve the Lord is to fight a spiritual battle. In prayer, in your daily life, in your whole outlook, it definitely is not easy. And Paul said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Now, it doesn't mean that you stop working, quit your job. Well, that would be the easy thing to do. But not be entangled doesn't mean that you don't do anything else, but that you are not caught up with it. You can be busy doing other things, but you are not entangled. It doesn't capture your heart. You are not distracted. You are not preoccupied. You're free from entanglement. And affairs of this life include your family. Not just your job. It doesn't mean that you don't care. It doesn't mean that, hey, you just go to meeting every day and forget about your children and forget about your household. Your room is in a big mess. Your kitchen is like a trash can. And now everything is just in shambles. Oh, why? Oh, I'm serving the Lord. I have no time to clean up. No, that's a bad excuse. Then the Lord will tell you, hey, what do you mean you're serving me? No, but your whole outlook is that you are fighting a spiritual warfare. Your heart is concerned about God's purpose, God's work, about the churches, about the saints. You're fully involved in your Father's business. Amen. That you're involved, deeply involved, doesn't mean that you don't care about any other things. No. This is not right. But you are fully given to God's purpose. And I want to let you all know that God's work is not something that you do whenever you like and when you have time and when you feel like it or when you're in the mood. You're doing a job with your new company. You have to be there on time. You have to do the work. You have to be there 8 hours. You cannot say, oh, today I am not in a mood. Sorry, I'm not coming. I'm a no-show today. And maybe 3 days later you say, now I'm happy. I'll come again and do the work. And you won't be there very long. God's work is a full-time job. Actually, it's not 7-Eleven. It's 24/7.
That's right.
It's 24/7. That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier.
Amen.
So you are enlisted. Of course, today there's no more draft, right? There's no more draft. But in the heavenly army, you are a soldier. You are a soldier. So Paul compares serving God as a professional soldier. I think this is a good comparison. Because in doing the Lord's work, you have to deal with God's enemy. It's a warfare going on, a spiritual warfare. That's why it's not easy. For you to gain a person is not easy, because you're gaining the person in the right perspective. You're gaining that person for God's purpose. So the enemy will do his best to stop you.
Yeah.
Then in verse 5, Paul talks about self-control here, like an athlete. An athlete needs a lot of training. You want to gain the crown. You want to gain the prize. So the best thing for Paul to use to make this point clear is to compare us, or Timothy, with an athlete. If anyone competes in athletics, just like now Olympic is coming, that's why there's an Olympic, but we are in a different Olympic. Yes. If anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So now, Paul compared a young co-worker to an athlete. So you really need to train yourself. There's so many areas of training: the discipline, in the word, in the mind, in the diet, practice every day to exercise unto godliness, to learn and practice to live in the spirit. So that whenever, in any situation, immediately you are in the Spirit. Like in the book of Revelation, John says, and immediately I was in spirit. He didn't say, and I tried so hard, and after 2 hours I finally got into the Spirit, but then the Lord is gone. The heavenly vision is over. You're just there at the very last point when all the angels are saying amen. And you're just there. And it's all gone. It's finished. You missed the show. You missed the show. Because you're not trained to turn to your spirit. It does take training. Does take training, and if you don't learn and don't train yourself to turn quickly from your emotion, from the situation, from things, just turn to your spirit and touch the Lord and says, Lord, I want to be one with you. We don't turn. It's not good. You won't get a crown. You won't get a crown. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 tells us, I buffet my body. I control it. I don't let it control me, but I control my body. So he said, if anyone competes in athletics, praise the Lord. So today, as a young worker of the Lord, you should train yourself as if you are in a competition. This is very good. So if you don't train, you won't even be a candidate. So this time in the Olympics, oh, so many athletes are there competing. Firstly, just to be in the Olympics.
Yeah, that's right. It's a big deal.
Right? That's a big deal, right? That's a big deal. And then when you're in the Olympics, you compete for the gold. So how much training do you need to do that? A lot. I remember 4 years ago, Phelps, he says that he only did three things. Eat, sleep, and swim. That's why he won the gold. Every day he only eat. Right? He ate, he slept, and he swam. He didn't do anything else. No wonder he got the gold. That's really vanity.
That's vanity of vanity.
A vanity of vanity. Didn't do anything else except sleeping, eating, and swimming. But here we want to be crowned. We want to receive a crown of life, a crown of gold. We're in a different competition. We compete with one another who lives Christ more. How about that? It would be good for husband and wife to have a competition. Let's see who lives Christ more. Eh? How about that? Let's compete. Sarah, let's have a competition. Who lives Christ? The granddaughter or the grandpa? Have a competition. It's good. Let's compete. And that means you have to exercise. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And the more we exercise and learn, and Lord, I want to gain you, and I want to live Christ. I want to learn to be in my spirit. Well, and every situation is a new situation for you to gain and overcome. It's not easy, but what can we do? You endure in competition if you want to gain a crown. And then you must compete according to the rules. Don't just do any way you like.
Yeah.
Don't be presumptuous.
Mm-hmm.
We have the rule right here in this book. It's a very clear writing. You compete according to the rules. Know the rule. Don't just do anything. You have to ask your coach. Learn the rules of the competition. So he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So you may train and train and train, but if you don't know the rules, you don't go according to the rules, you still will lose. You'll be disqualified. So training is important. And to do it according to the rules, this is also important. This is part of the discipline. No drugs. Don't inject yourself, otherwise you'll be stripped of your titles. Then, in verse 6, Paul uses a farmer as an example, a hard-working farmer. A hard-working farmer. It's a hard job. It's not easy to be farmers. Nobody likes to be a farmer anymore. I still remember an old song in the Philippines when I was a child. Planting rice is never fun. You bend from morning till the end of sun. Cannot stand and cannot sit. Cannot rest for a little bit. Planting rice is never fun. Bent from morn till the end of sun. Cannot stand and cannot sit. Cannot rest for a little bit. You'd like to be a farmer? Hard to be a farmer. Hard to be a farmer. Well, this is the way to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
You don't serve at your convenience. You don't serve if you are fresh and have a good night's sleep. I'm going to take a little rest. No, you cannot. Cannot sit. Cannot stand. Cannot bend. Cannot rest. Not that simple. Not that simple. That's why it's good to be young. Praise the Lord. It's good to be young. You still have the energy. Give that energy to the Lord. You asked Mary many years ago when we started in Viltal. Oh, we worked day and night. And then in Frankfurt. Oh, sometimes I didn't, almost every day, I didn't go to bed until, 3 o'clock in the morning, 2:30, we're still working and preparing the newspaper and the writings and the songs. And we did so much typesetting and working. But the Lord blessed the work.
Amen.
It's really wonderful.
Yes.
A lot of work to do.
Yeah.
But it's rewarding.
Amen.
Don't think serving the Lord is easy. The way people serve the Lord today, it's easy. They even get paid. $5,000 a month. Oh, that's not too bad. So you really need to see, serving the Lord, it's like a farmer, a hard-working farmer. But then you will be the first to partake of the crop. This is wonderful.
Amen.
The Lord will reward you. We all need to see this. Paul, in his wisdom, wrote to Timothy in such a way. And then he said, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Or consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. You need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me understanding.
Yeah.
In all things. So, and Paul himself was an example. He said, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer even to the point of chains. He was imprisoned. He was put in chain. But the word of God is not chained. It is so wonderful. He was in chain. Yet, while he was in chain, the word of God was spread abroad.
Amen.
Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. So Paul is not just telling him to do this and that. Paul himself was a living example to him. This is really good. So, to serve the Lord is not an easy profession. It's not an easy profession. You have to know this. But on the other hand, the Lord will supply your every need. There is the living supply from the Lord. Praise the Lord. So in verse 11, Paul said, this is a faithful saying. If we died with him, really good. If we died with him,
amen.
They will not teach you in Bible school or whatever to die with him. Do you like to die? Nobody likes to die. If we died with him, we shall also live with him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So the way to live with him is to die. You die to self.
Yes.
Not doctrine and teaching. If we endure hardship, sufferings, trials, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Now you know how to reign with Christ. You endure. Endure. So many times we are in difficult situation, but it's all right. It's all right. You learn endurance. So you have two positive things. You die with him. This is a faithful saying. It's a faithful saying.
Yeah.
So remember it. If we deny him, what did he say?
He also will deny us.
That's a warning.
Yes.
So do not deny the Lord.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed of him.
Hmm.
Don't deny him.
Hmm.
The Lord did say something, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the angels of God and before the Father. So we are witnesses of the Lord.
Right.
How can a witness deny? If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. He will not change. Meaning to say, you will not lose your salvation. But if you deny him, he will deny you. Meaning to say that you will lose your kingdom.
That's right.
When he comes. Remember the five foolish virgins knocking, Lord, Lord, open to us. The Lord says, I don't know you. I don't know you. If we are faithless, he still will remain faithful. He will not change. He will never change. Whatever he has given you, he has given you. That will not be taken away. Salvation by faith, by grace, not of works, that will never change. You're born again, that will never change. You will not lose your salvation. That will never change.
Mm.
But reward is something else. Reward is something else. Reward is earned. He cannot deny himself. So remind them of these things. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the Lord's word, Paul's word here, is very practical.
Amen.
From this word you can realize that it's not just a matter of doctrines and teachings.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of your living, a matter of your whole life, outlook in life. Paul is not just concerned of how much knowledge and doctrine and teachings you know. Timothy, let me give you a test. No, not that kind of a test. But it is the living, the warfare, enduring hardship, not entangling himself with the affairs of this life, pleasing him who enlisted him. All of these are very basic in the life of service. Very basic.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that we live the life of a monk. No. Whatever the Lord gives you, that's fine. If you have, you live as if you don't have. If you don't have, you live as if you have. No difference. No difference. It does not affect Paul's life. So I really hope that all of you young professionals will become a real professional. A real pro in serving the Lord. This is necessary.
Oh, no.
This is really necessary. I want to let you know that serving the Lord is not an easy task. Not an easy task. Oh, don't serve with your concepts. Don't serve just with teachings and knowledge. I have seen that for many, many, many years. So many teachings. I heard so many messages, but it didn't change anybody. Not only bad messages doesn't change anybody. Good messages didn't work so well. Of course, it's better than bad messages. But you're still in the realm of good or bad messages. But it's the life and the power of this life that will change people.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Oh Lord.
And at the end of this age, nothing else will work. Remember that. Nothing else is going to work. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, learn to be a real pro. A real pro. Like what Paul says here. A real worker of the Lord.
Amen.
Train yourself. Do not expect others to train you. You know, you can still have a good teacher. You can have a good coach. But if you don't exercise and train yourself, you
exactly.
cannot make it.
Yeah, that's right.
So eventually, whether you will be trained or not depends on you. It depends on a student, not just on a teacher. Right? In a class of 40, you have all the same teachers. How come?
Yeah.
Some got a medal and some get something else. So eventually it depends on you yourself whether you want to be trained or not by the Lord. And you're the best coach, I always say, the best teacher. The Holy Spirit indwelling you.
Amen.
If you learn to take heed to the Spirit, this is good.
Yes.
So at the very end, you cannot depend on anyone but yourself and the Holy Spirit and the living God, Christ in you. I'm always impressed by Paul. Not because he is such a great apostle. But Paul is a very special one In that, after he met the Lord, he didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't have any great apostles there to teach him. He didn't learn from any man. And in Galatians, that was his boasting. That was his testimony. So who trained Paul? Who trained Paul? Which teacher? It is the Lord himself. And he was willing to be trained. So eventually, if you are just being trained by any man, your spiritual life will be limited. But if your training is by the Holy Spirit, your training has no end. Mm-hmm. You'll never graduate. And you will not reach a peak. Because any man, whoever he is, has his limit. But only the Lord has no limit.
Amen.
He has no limit. You'll never hit the limit. Somebody says he has reached the peak of divine revelation. His peak is not very high. We have come to the peak of the divine revelation. That peak must not be very high. If the peak of the divine revelation can be reached by you, that peak must not be a divine peak. I don't know what it is. It's not a peak, it's a pick. Whatever. The ice pick. No. If you are being trained by the Lord and by the Holy Anointing, that training has no peak. Because it keeps on going higher. And that training has no end. If you want to reach the peak, it'll take eternity. But then eternity has no end.
Yeah.
So that training has no peak. So eventually, the only person that can really train you is God himself through the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is given to you.
Amen.
So if your teacher is man, you cannot go beyond that man. Because your teacher is a man. But if your professor is the Holy Spirit, the anointing, he knows no end. Your growth and your experience will progress and will go on without limitation. So learn to know the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Learn to trust in the Spirit. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, how many times the Spirit was mentioned? So many times. Unfortunately, we don't care so much about that. I don't know, you were going through the messages in Stuttgart here, right? Did you touch the matter of the Spirit? So many times the Spirit was mentioned. in Ezekiel so many times. And every time the Lord is doing something with Ezekiel, it is always with a spirit. Nothing was done without a spirit. The Holy Spirit indwelling us is the factor today, is the reality of wonderful living God, the Father, the Son. Both of them send forth the Spirit to indwell you. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit, Christ Himself. And no one is as faithful as the Spirit. So today, we call it the age of the Spirit. And it will be the Spirit that will take us to the very end, to the goal, to reach the goal. So you need to aspire to know and experience the Spirit more and more, more and more. Tell the Lord, I need to know the Spirit.
Amen.
And nobody can teach you except the Holy Spirit, because He indwells you. This cannot be underemphasized or overemphasized. The Spirit is so crucial, so important. Even at the end in the book of Revelation, it is the Spirit. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy. The Spirit. In the very end, it is the Spirit and the bride says, come. So the Spirit is very important. Can never overemphasize it. It's just too important. Not the Pentecostal people there, but it is the Spirit that indwells you and me.
Amen.
You have to let the Spirit lead you. You have to hear, be sensitive to the feeling of the Spirit. Two verses that says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. And then, grieve not the Spirit. One in 1 Thessalonians, the other one in Ephesians. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, quench not the Spirit. Meaning to say, actually the Spirit wants to do a lot of things within you, telling you stop or do this, leading you, spend time with the Lord, or do this, don't do that, etc. Serve Him. But you quench. The Spirit is burning within you. But you quench the Spirit. It's very easy to quench the Spirit, because the Spirit will not fight with you. So you quench many times. The more you quench, the less you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe, Paul says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We always do things contrary to Him. So grieving the Holy Spirit will cause the Holy Spirit not to be able to speak to you. If somebody grieves you all the time, Timo, are you going to talk to him? No, you won't talk to him anymore. Okay, forget it. If I spoke to you 100 times, and out of the 100 times, 99.9 times you told me no. You think I want to talk to you again? Right. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, obey Him.
Amen.
In the book of Hebrews, today, if you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, harden not your heart. Mm-hmm. How many times did Hebrews say that? So we harden our heart too much. So if we are like that, then how can we serve the Lord? We just cannot serve the Lord. The Spirit cannot tell us anything. The Spirit cannot tell us anything. Especially if you have a concept in your head, it's a fixed concept. No one can change it. Not even the Holy Spirit can change your concept. Certainly not easy. So if you want to follow the Spirit, be open to Him and pray to the Lord. Lord, make it so clear to me. I many times joke with the Lord, please don't speak Greek to me. You speak in a language that I can understand. You speak either Chinese, English, or German. Don't speak to me in angel's tongue, because I can't understand it. Please speak to me in a way that I can understand you, okay? You think I'm joking? I always joke with him like that. And I don't think he thinks I'm joking. Yes, because I'm in it. Lord, if you speak to me in angel's tongue, how do you expect me to understand you? And don't make it so difficult. I says, no wonder so many saints here, they complain they don't hear you. I say, why? Well, why do you make it so difficult? Don't make it hard for me to understand you. Everybody is complaining. They can't hear you. You don't want to receive another complainer. I want to hear you. I want to know you. I want to speak to you. And I want you to speak with me. God is a speaking God. So tell Him, talk to Him and tell Him, Lord, I need to hear you. I need to hear you speaking to me. Tell Him, I love the Bible, but the Bible tells me I can hear your voice above that. How do you speak to your mother? Writing letter? Write letter to your mom. Put it on her desk. And your mom, after she wrote it, put it on your desk. And then if she's mad, she write Vietnamese. You say, what is that? It's not good to just communicate with a book. I appreciate the word. I'm not downgrading the Bible. But my God is not just a book. My God is a living God. And He is His Spirit. He has a Spirit. His Spirit dwells in me. And I learned from this book that His Spirit speaks.
Amen.
And I have to have an ear to hear Him speaking. And yes. I shouldn't quench the Spirit.
Amen.
It shouldn't harden my heart. And the book of Acts tells me that all of those saints in the early days, they all heard Him. He appeared to them. He spoke to them. So, change your concept is what I meant. Change your concept. Tell the Lord, tell God, your Father, hey, speak to me. You know, as a father and grandfather, even baby, I like to talk to baby. Although the baby didn't understand me, I kept on talking. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Boo, boo, boo. I cannot imagine that my father didn't want to talk to me. How can you serve the living God if you don't talk to him and he doesn't talk to you? When the Lord was on this earth, he talked so much to his disciples.
Oh, yes.
Every day, day in, day out. He spoke to them. He didn't just tell them, read the scriptures. Let's go read. Read the Bible. Just read the Bible. I don't need to talk to you. I already wrote everything. Just read the Bible. That doesn't mean you shouldn't read the Bible, okay? Don't go home and say, oh, John told us not to read the Bible. I didn't say that. But I'm saying that apart from reading this Bible, you shouldn't forget you have the living God. You have the living Christ who dwells in you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a God who speaks.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
This is what we desperately need.
Amen.
At the end of this age, today, to touch the reality. And if he speaks, I want to guarantee you this word becomes living. This word becomes alive. It jumps out. The Spirit will talk to you. You will see things you've not seen before. But then my desire is not to know the Bible. My desire is to know the indwelling Christ. More than I desire to know the written Bible.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And this is necessary. To be one who serves the living God, you need to have this communication with him. People sing that song. It's an old Christian song. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. But they only sing that, but they don't walk with God, and they don't
right.
talk with him. At least he doesn't talk to them. Many, many years ago, when I was a student, in Freiburg, the Lord really spoke. He's the living God. He's
Amen.
A speaking God.
Amen.
So we all need to experience the living God.
Yes.
That's why the Word says he's the living God.
Amen.
The living God.
Amen.
When John was in the island of Patmos, and the living God appeared to him.
Yes.
And talked to him and showed him so many things and brought him to so many places and showed him visions. He's the living God.
Hmm.
So the Lord has to appear. The God of glory appeared. Change your mind, your concepts. Change your concept. I don't mean the truth is not important, but if you're just bound by that concept and so you don't believe the Lord speaks to you and so he doesn't. So you don't know what is. The only thing you know is what's in the Bible. That's all you know.
Mm.
And then I'm not even sure that your interpretation of the Bible is right. That's still another question mark. Why are there so much fighting among the Christians? It's about what the Bible says. Why are they so fighting about each other? Because they don't know the living God. So as young people who have a heart for the Lord experience him in a living way, then whatever he wants, you do it. It's beyond me. I cannot tell you what to do. I'm not God. He is the one who sent you. He's the one who wants you. He's the one who's going to lead you. He's the one who's going to tell you how to serve him. But one thing I know, you have to pursue holiness, righteousness, to be pure, to have a pure heart. Tell the Lord that this is your promise. I claim that promise. You're going to give me a pure heart, a new heart, and a pure heart. Do that, Lord. I cannot operate on my own heart, okay? Tell him that. Don't be afraid, you wouldn't like that. No, and tell him. I told God, if I can save myself, I don't need a Savior anymore, you know? That's why I need you to save me. If I can save myself, then I don't need a Savior. But I cannot save myself, so I need you as my Savior. So you better save me. Well, he did. The whole Bible shows us that all of God's people, they all talk to God. Abraham talked to God. You say you're going to bless me and give me, oh, I'm going to be so rich, you give me everything, but I don't have an heir. What's the use? My servant, Eliezer, will be my heir. He talks to God. Then God says, no, it should be someone from your loin that will be your heir. So, God talks. He's a talking God. He's a speaking God.
Amen.
I many times complained to him. I said, how come, God, you don't talk clearly to your people? It's so hard. But is it really hard, or people don't like to listen? Then eventually I found out it's not that God doesn't talk to us. We don't like to listen to him.
Right.
Hearing, you hear not. Seeing, you see not. We like to hear so many crazy things. When somebody talks negative, we're all ears. And we even hear things that people don't say. But we don't hear God. We don't like to hear him. So eventually, it boils down to whether we have an ear to hear or not. Whether we like to exercise, to hear and to learn obedience. This is an exercise. It's a learning process. It's a practice. And it's a desire. Because if you want to serve the Lord, it must be because you love him and you want to please him. Mm-hmm. And it's your reasonable service. Right. And you do it voluntarily. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I hope it will be an encouragement.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, God. Oh, God.